I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
When this baby hits 88 miles per hour, you're gonna see some serious shit.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Boy, that escalated quickly. I mean, that really got out of hand fast.
Why did you say that then?
I understood that reference.
Forgot about my new toys. Let's go.
I'll have what she's having.
Keep on rolling, baby. You know what time it is.
My snapback makes so much more sense now.
Back to 2001.
Chocolate starfish.
Oh no, this is chocolate starfish. This is like 2003.
Water.
You know this album?
I actually have this album.
Yeah, I did too. I was gonna say this album is not that bad.
And classic rock died. That's the end of rock. That was actually the end of classic rock.
Somewhere, John Lennon was crying in his grave.
I owned a red even Yankees hear cap.
Well, he was just crying because he was dead.
Well, the gunshot was still ringing.
I was like, it's still really loud.
Imagine that.
It's reverberating off the walls of my casket.
He's saying John Lennon.
Oh, I don't know why he talks that way.
I was going to say.
Yeah, he's from Liverpool.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter, but he can't hear himself talk.
I'm a part of the Beatles. I'm from Liverpool. That's what you just.
Apparently, when you get that part of your brain blown out, you start to talk like a little American wanker.
You went a little Scottisher.
Well, that's how they speak
like
in
Irish,
Liverpool.
Irish, Irish or
Scottish?
Scottish. Does it matter? They wear skirts, for God's sakes.
They're called kilts, you wee little American man.
Nathan is a Scottish land baron. Thank you very much.
Oh, nice.
Somebody bought him a piece.
He's a laird.
Thank you for checking out.
I believe they call it laird.
Thank you for checking out the Mount Geekmore podcast, Geek Newsy. We think it's Geek Newsy number 6, but does it matter? It doesn't even matter.
I tried so hard, and we
that was
did
Linkin Park.
Not count.
What? That was Linkin Park.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
I
didn't know. I didn't know who that was. I'll turn a process.
You gotta add rhythm and tone to what I just said and imagine it, and then that's
Hold
what
on.
You get.
Oh, okay.
Right.
All right. All right.
So, but not much rhythm or tone because it's still Linkin Park.
So I am Nary Science. With me, as usual, is David.
Howdy.
And Jeffrey.
Hola.
And today we have Steph from the What's Up Bro podcast.
Hey.
Wow,
Steph,
he didn't do it.
I know.
An E-Mayor senior. I wasn't going to do it, but you cornered me, and nobody puts Nary in a corner. And so I did it anyways. When you put Nary in a corner, that hack comes out. So thank you for checking us out. This is the Geek Newsy. This is the pre-episode, the quote-unquote mini episode, if you will, prior to our mountain episode, where the next episode you hear will be us discussing the Mount Rushmore more of the best TV shows that were canceled too soon. So before we get into that, we will get into the geek news. Hit me with the geek news, Jeffrey. Hit me with your geek news.
Ba-ba, ba-ba.
I said hit me with your geek news.
Ba-ba, ba-ba.
All right. The Boondock Saints Origins. There's a TV prequel series that has been announced.
Prequel.
Oh, it's a prequel.
It's a prequel TV series. There's going to be a Boondock Saints 3.
Oh.
But there is a prequel TV series.
But is that prequel also going to have the same guys, the same actors? Because they're old as fuck now.
No.
They're going to play their fathers.
Yeah.
Which was in Boondock
Saints. It was the same father.
Right. It's Billy Connolly. Yeah. It's the same
El Duque.
One.
Yeah. So here's the catch. It's going to take place before the events of the original Boondock Saints movie. To help fund the project, and I actually went to the site because I was going to fund it until I saw this, you can go to their campaign page and donate almost $600 for a special edition of the TV series before it is ever released on TV. Mm. It comes with a bunch of extras, including rosary beads, a whiskey tumbler set, and metal cross keychain. Just for the start. Only the first 5,000 people get it, though. I don't think they're going to have a problem. But because I'm not paying $600 for a TV show that I haven't even seen yet.
I got all those things at the dollar store last week.
You know what? I got to be honest with you.
Yeah, but then when you scratched it off, there was like a satanic girl trying to cut herself on it.
Yeah, so I got a better deal.
Yeah.
I gotta be honest with you.
Get shiver and you get that joke.
That doesn't. I know it sounds like a lot of, but it's not. I don't think it's crazy ridiculous. Like you get it beforehand. You get everything beforehand, and you get all these little.
I mean, you get a cool box.
You get a. It comes in a cool collector's box. Yeah. Like
it's still almost $600.
I'm not saying it's not a lot of money. I'm just saying that I don't think it's a ridiculous amount of money. And here's the reason why I say that, because I'm putting things into perspective in comparison to if you watch sports, you know there's a kid Lonzo Ball is projected to be the number one draft pick next year for the NBA. So he's in college right now, and he's announced that he's supposed to be the number one pick. He's really good, right?
And he plays the basketball.
He plays the wrong thing that you bounce with your hands.
What the Monstars are good at.
Exactly. Okay.
So my point of bringing this up is that he just released his new shoe, his signature shoe, and he's taking pre-orders.
Which is a sports shoe,
but with his name. That's the ones like the Jordans.
Right, right.
You know, he's not in college anymore. He's already announced his intention to play in the NBA.
Okay.
So he is announced his shoe and his signature shoe, which is already he was looking for
Nike,
like Nike,
Adidas,
Nike, Adidas, and Under Armour all already said that they're not going to do it
because
he was working on deals with distribution. Okay. His dad's a big mouth. That's a whole other story. But my point of bringing all this up is that his shoe right now you can pre-order it. And they ship in November is running at $495 for sneakers.
Jordans run like $200, $250.
Yeah, LeBron's are like $250. Those are like the most expensive ones, too, which is a ridiculous price. $250 is absurd to me.
Yeah. But he's not sportsing professionally already.
Not yet.
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I don't get it's this. A gamble. Is people are trying to get the first edition thing. So that
see, that I understand.
But I don't understand $495 when the market is dictating that everybody else is charging $200, $250, and they are those shoes are Nikes. Those shoes are Adidas. They are established.
But are they first edition of a particular brand?
It doesn't matter.
But I mean, it's a little bit like a statue. Like we were talking earlier about the, like the artist statues. Like the figures.
Right, but I'm not buying a statue that's double the price than every other statue. You get me?
That's like
it's not market, value. It's not market value.
Right. That's like if I told you, I'll sell you this Da Vinci for $10 million, or you can get this Neri original print that it's a first edition for $11 million.
And hope that it accumulates some sort of value.
I just don't think the market value doesn't dictate it. That's all I'm saying. Like, I'm not saying, look, I think $250 is ridiculous for a sneaker. I'm not paying $250 for a sneaker. However, if you're going to pay $250 for a sneaker, if that's what every other sneaker is going to go for, sure, that's fine. Whatever. It is what it is. Capitalism. But $495, when you're going double the price now, and you're not even being backed by Nike. Like we don't know the quality of the shoe.
Right. I can tell you the most I've ever spent on a sneaker was $150, and they were made in USA PF Flyers. And I will not wear any other sneaker ever again.
Really?
Yeah.
Why is that?
They are the most comfortable shoe I've ever worn.
Oh, okay.
I am not sponsored by PF Flyer, but I will.
But
take
did
a
you
sponsorship.
Did you buy that? Did you spend that money recently? That you still own those shoes?
I still own them.
How long ago did you get them?
I got them about 2 years ago.
Okay.
Dude, the high tops I'm wearing, I got back in 2009, 2008.
I go through
perfect condition. See, I had a pair of Converse that I bought back in 2004, maybe 2003, around that time, and they were so beat up. And I looked into getting new high tops, right? And
high tops.
I fucking love high tops. I wore them to work.
I just like the fact that he calls them high tops.
I wear
high top sneakers to work, different. Right?
He goes just says sneakers.
No, because high tops are a very specific thing.
Yeah. So
but they're sneakers.
I found that PF Flyers were slightly less than Converse. So I was like, okay, well let me check it out. I never tried one on.
Mm-hmm.
And I bought these, which are not the Made in USA ones, and they were so freaking comfy. It's like, okay, well, let me try a Made in USA one. And, bro, fucking awesome.
Yeah. Really? I got mine at Famous Footwear for $59.
Yeah, I spent $100 of mine because I have a wide foot, and I've tried every other shoe, and it doesn't fit me. Unless it's Skechers, which come on,
I have to go a size up.
I'm not doing that
if they don't offer like the wide size.
So I do Air Force Ones, and
I like Air Force Ones.
I just walk in to the place and I go, give me a size 13, and they go, do you want to try it on? And I go, I'm already trying them on, and they look down at my feet, and I'm currently wearing the same shoe, just different color or something.
Yeah,
and that's all I do, and I do that every 6 months because of the fact that I use those sneakers for everything.
Yeah,
I'll go to the gym. the shoes, if you go to a show of mine, the shoes I'll be wearing on stage are the same shoes.
Those are the ones that Michael Keaton wore in Batman.
There you go. While wearing the bat suit.
Yeah.
Nice. Good for him. All right. so $600 doesn't seem ridiculous. I'm sorry to go off on a sports tangent on a Geek More podcast, but
I just think you don't know the product. So it's like
you know the history of the product.
And I mean, it's Troy Duffy doing it, so it's the creator of it. Right. So
I'm not saying I will spend $600 for that, but I'm not saying it's a ridiculous amount of money either.
It's kind of like
not
if you're a fan of Mars.
Yeah, see, that's that.
Or something good. Sure.
But I'm saying, like,
I get it. Yeah. I get you.
Like, a lot of the fans are the ones who backed
it. I really like.
I would spend Boondock that for Saints, Super Troopers.
But I wouldn't spend it.
I spent $50 for Super Troopers, too.
But, if they had a collector's edition with stuff like that, like shit like that, I would spend that for Super Troopers.
I should be getting my shirt soon.
Sure.
From back
then. You guys suck.
Yeah, I spent more than that on Star Trek The Next Generation to get all the Blu-ray box sets. I think it was like $1,000 total.
Do you want to say that? Do you want me to edit that out so your wife doesn't hear
Stephanie
that?
Knows.
Oh, okay.
It hurts.
Yeah. Okay. No, it did. It hurt. It was a commitment. But I had already committed to it. I mean,
what are you going
to
do?
What am I going to do? Stop at season 4? Goes to season 7. Come on. What the fuck am I supposed to do now?
Stop.
No.
Yeah. No, he needs to boldly go.
nice. What else? What else you got?
Will Ferrell and Jason Momoa are set to star in a Galaxy Quest / Ocean's 11 style comedy.
Let's do this.
What?
Paramount has acquired an untitled comedy project that will buddy up Will Ferrell and Jason Momoa. A lot is known about the movie except...
that it's awesome.
Galaxy Quest meets Ocean's 11 with Ferrell... a washed-up TV star reuniting with his now grown TV son, who is played by Jason Momoa, who has become a huge star. Andy Mogul and Jared Paul will write it, and they are both known for recently creating the Fox comedy The Grinder, and Stroller also directed Neighbors and Storks. So I'm down.
Neighbors was funny.
I like Neighbors.
I haven't seen the other one.
I saw Storks because I was on an airplane and I watched everything else already. But it was cute, funny. Like, the comedy was, I don't know, it's Andy Samberg being a stork. That's all it really is.
Storks?
Sounds like fun.
It was fun.
I like Andy Samberg.
I do like him.
Okay, so this next one's, this came out last week, but spoiler alert, if you have not seen Split.
I have not seen Split. Shall I step out of the room?
So maybe I should not say this. You don't know anything about Split?
Well, I know the concept of the movie.
Okay, I can't say.
No, we can't do that.
I can't say anything then. Okay, never mind. Let's skip this one.
There's the room, guys.
There's split news, y'all.
It'll ruin it. It'll ruin the big.
I don't even know what the news is, but I know that if you haven't seen the movie, it's an M. Night Shyamalan movie.
M. Night Shyamalan Ding Dong.
I actually really want to see it, though.
It's phenomenal.
It's fantastic.
I heard he does good. Gene Hackman's in it. Yeah?
Yeah. Like, it's not going to get nominated because it's so early in the year, like
what
Nuri was saying. But...
Should.
Yeah, yeah, he should. Okay, so thanks. I think Raul's the one that posted this to Guy Ritchie wants to direct Suicide Squad 2.
I did, but
you did.
That would be an improvement.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Well, we talked about Mel Gibson.
They're still pursuing Mel Gibson.
Yeah.
I think as much as I love Mel Gibson, I think Guy Ritchie's a better fit for Suicide Squad.
If they actually made Suicide Squad a rated R and let Guy Ritchie take it over it.
Well, I think it's going to be rated R either way because Mel Gibson doesn't do non-rated R movies anyway. He doesn't. He's only directed a handful of movies, but they're all been rated R.
Uh-huh. Was The Patriot rated R?
Yeah. Oh,
Patriot
bro,
wasn't directed
super
by him.
Bloody.
Patriot wasn't directed by him.
It wasn't?
No.
Okay.
Really?
The only one he's directed...
Who directed The Patriot?
I don't know. But the only one he directed was Braveheart and...
I believe you. I just don't know who directed it.
I don't know who directed it.
So, Guy Ritchie, while talking to Variety...
But yeah, it would be rated R regardless. It would be... Because it was
super
bloody.
Super bloody, yeah.
Variety said, I'd quite fancy doing Suicide Squad 2 because I thought I could do a good job with it. I can't do it because I'm doing something else, but I felt I could really do something with that.
Yeah.
That's a tease.
Yeah, but I would love Guy Ritchie. I love Guy Ritchie.
Like, yeah.
I think he's phenomenal.
That's not so much news as in Guy Ritchie said he would have done it.
Oh, shit. It was Roland Emmerich.
Yeah.
It seems a little out of pace with the stuff he usually does.
But I didn't. I don't know. I got to rewatch The Patriot. I don't know.
I liked it a lot.
I liked it.
It's not as good as Braveheart.
But it felt like it was trying to be Braveheart. It felt like it was Braveheart in different costumes. Like, it felt very...
It was only 3 years after it. They're trying to cash in on that Mel Gibson in a war movie
thing. That's what I didn't like about it. And it was literally like, you know, it's the same thing. It's like, oh, I don't want to be involved in the war. You kill somebody I love. Now I got to be involved in the war.
It wasn't too long after that that he did We Were Soldiers, right?
No, that was, yeah, it was.
Was it later?
Yeah, it was later. But he just hates the British.
Hates a lot of people.
Yeah. And yeah.
Doesn't hate them. Doesn't hate them.
I don't know.
So,
the vodka hates him.
Oh, by the way, shout out real quick, an addendum to the Geek Newsy that we, the Mount Geekmore podcast that we did for the breakup songs, that I made the statement of, as long as they don't hurt anybody physically, I'm okay with, like, they don't owe me anything as a person, they owe me as a performer, except if you hurt people, right? That was the rule that I put myself on. And Daniel DeBona of the What's Good podcast and the House of Heel podcast, he shot me an email as he was listening to it, and he was like, FYI, CeeLo beat the living shit and choked his fucking girlfriend at the time.
Okay.
Yeah, oh, really?
Yeah, he went to trial for it in the whole nine yards. I'm misquoting it. He basically date raped her.
Oh,
and
my God.
In the trial, he said, it's not rape if she's passed out, she can't say no.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So Daniel DeBona sends me that, and I'm like, oh, but CeeLo wasn't in my mountain either way, though, right? Like, he was like, so, like, I was trying to play, but yeah, so I didn't know that about CeeLo. So an addendum to.
Yeah, he was in my mountain.
Oh, so you're the one.
Way to go, Jeff.
Douchebags.
Way to go,
Jeff. We Were Soldiers was 2002, only 2 years after.
Mm-hmm.
So, new in the sports game. sports news.
Really?
Yeah. The World Chase Tag Organization.
Okay.
Now actually exists, and tag is now a professional sport.
Nice.
Oh my God.
So those are more athletes than esports players.
I know, that's why I brought this up.
Yes.
They said it involves they have obstacles, and it's like a little arena, and there's obstacles in one person.
Yeah, I'm imagining like a little.
Yeah, like look. There's a photo. I'll show you.
Like a little like ninja warrior thing.
Yeah, it's like a little, and it's funny because there's people all around them, so it's kind of like blood sport. it's the kumite of tag.
It's kind of weird though, because I guess his tag is not hide and seek. So it'd be kind of weird if it was hide and seek, and you had spectators like, he's in there.
Can we could please ask the audience to refrain from yelling out the location?
You gotta do soundproof glass and shit.
That motherfucker's right there.
Hey, fuck that guy.
But tag, that's pretty cool, man.
Yeah.
I like all those crazy things like dodgeball and frisbee, Quidditch. Extreme frisbee. I think that's all cool. I think those are all.
Did you say Quidditch?
Yes.
All right.
It is.
I'm down.
Yeah. So stupid. No. But I like
what was the hobby horsing? Was that the one you said today?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Did you see that one?
That shit's crazy.
Yeah. That video. Again. I don't see, but that's like
I showed.
You're still
all my,
going outside. You're still exercising. You're still doing. That's like you still take skill to do that. Not the horse thing. Where that's ridiculous. But it still takes skill to do all. You know what I mean? To fucking throw a frisbee the way they throw a frisbee.
Oh, frisbee. Sure. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. But all that.
Have you ever played frisbee golf?
No, I haven't.
Frisbee golf.
Yeah.
There's a course right across from Raul's house. I used to play there in the hammock. Not the hammocks. What's it called?
The Mickey Circuit one.
No. The park in front of Raul's house.
By the dump.
Yeah. They have if you
no, there is just a dump
next
there.
Time you go by there
it sounds really bad to the listener. It's not Raul's house.
Wow.
No, there's a city municipal dump right
Raul
there.
Has become Wreck-It Ralph, man. Wreck-It Ralph.
Just because you are bad guys does not mean you are bad.
There's a thing called frisbee golf. Like
Thank
my
you,
friends
Jason.
Had it. You carry a bag and there's different size frisbees. The putter's like a regular one that you can buy like at the dollar store, but there's like drivers which are super thin so you can throw them farther, and the course is like wrap around trees and shit like that.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
I gotta try this.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you see, that takes actual skill. I'm all for that.
Yeah, of course.
Like, that's what I'm all for. Like, yeah, tag. You gotta jump through obstacles. That shit is something. I'm not doing that. Not yet.
Oh.
Soon, one day, because Weight Watchers works. So.
Thank you, Valerie Burton.
All right.
When did you start?
This is now I've been doing it for 4 weeks. Yesterday was my it starts my fifth week.
Awesome.
Yeah.
How much have you lost?
I don't know, because I haven't weighed myself in a week, because I weigh myself on Sundays or Mondays, and I've been out of town, and I just got back in town today, so I haven't weighed myself. But before that, I had been 10 pounds.
Nice.
There you go.
So 10 pounds in the first 3 weeks. I don't know what I lost in the fourth week.
You look good, boo.
Thank you, girl.
You always look good.
For say, thank you. You ever seen that meme where he goes, where it says, me, man, I'm fat. My friend, girl, you're beautiful. And he's, and me, I didn't say I wasn't. I just said I was fat. What else you got?
Hit me with your game. Today, this came out today. Jennifer Morrison announces that she is leaving Once Upon a Time.
Oh fuck.
That show's done.
What
selfish fucking...
It was known that once his stars were all in contract negotiations, and ABC hadn't announced whether or not the show would return for season 7. So this is kind of appropriate, this news.
Yeah.
So
is it going to...
What did it say? What repeat that?
That ABC's in contract negotiations with the stars and had not announced yet whether or not the show would return for the 7th season. Morrison addressed both of these points in her post. She states that the folks at ABC had offered her a contract for the next season, but she had declined to move forward with it because she felt it was her time. It was time for her career to move in a new direction.
Did the show leave off on a cliffhanger in the last season? Or?
I haven't kept it up with it.
It usually does. I'm on season 5, so I'm 2 seasons behind.
You know, the show never held my attention.
Well,
the first season was great. The first season was great, but then the first season I liked. Christy and I were supposed to watch that, and when she listens to this
season 2 is way better.
Well, we were supposed to watch the entire show together. Christy started watching it on her own.
Dude, you didn't like Peter Pan?
I think it went on for too long.
No, dude. Peter Pan only went on for half the season, and then after that, they brought in Frozen.
They sold me when Robin Hood was Crod Mandoon. The guy who plays Robin Hood was Crod Mandoon.
I didn't make it that far.
Crod Mandoon and the Flaming Sword of Fire. Do you remember that show on Comedy Central? It was like a barbarian spoof?
No.
Oh, my God.
It seems right up my alley.
Fuck Crod Mandoon.
No, yeah. Once Robin Hood and Captain Hook came in, I was
upset.
Like, yeah. I was good. But then I just lost track of
it. Again, my wife and I used to watch it together, and then I started traveling more. So then that just became a life.
The concept of the show always interests me, and I liked what they were doing. It never held my attention.
Girl.
I don't know if that makes any sense.
You suck.
I know. She often and well, I'm
told. I was still actively watching that show, that would piss me off. Right. Like, if she decided out of
I don't want to talk about my Wednesday nights.
It's just weird. That's guys don't usually suck.
It depends.
Well, it depends.
Let me rephrase.
South bitch. Just
lick. You know what I mean?
Well... Not really. That's a little heteronormal review.
Right. It's a lick.
You got to lick it before you stick it.
Even a penis. You don't suck a penis. You don't actually suck a penis.
Yeah. So there's some sucking going on.
You don't suck.
So once upon a time.
Right. Right. Once upon a time I got a blowjob. That was nice.
What were you saying?
Only once upon a time.
No, I was saying that, like, as a fan, like, I lost, you know, touch with the show, whatever, but if I was, like, still consistently watching it, that would really piss me off.
Yeah,
if
that's
she just decided
really...
to not come back, rather than let her character's storyline play out, let them write her out.
Well, you can't even write her out. She's fucking Snow White. You can't write her out.
Is she Snow White?
Yes.
That's Jennifer Goodwin. This is the main girl.
This is Emma.
Both of them are main girls, in all fairness.
Well, yeah, but the blonde, that's...
Yeah, the daughter. The daughter, right. She's the key. She's the actual fucking key.
Well, then they find the door and they use her to unlock it. She did mention that if the show was to be renewed, she had agreed to appear in just one episode.
Yeah, so they have to tie things up. Yeah, I guess.
That's a little fucked up, though.
So she shows up and they hit her with a car. The carriage. Cinderella's carriage just nails her. And then
I am with you. I'm more disappointed
because I thought it was Snow White. And I was like, well, that sucks. Now that it's her, I'm like, oh, fuck her.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
That's really upsetting.
I think you owe your fans something when you're on a TV show.
Closure.
Yeah.
Because they're dedicated to you.
Your career, and not that she didn't have a career before this, but a lot.
She did.
No, she did.
Okay.
She was in House.
Yeah.
For a long time.
She wasn't
like a well-known name on House.
No, she wasn't, but she had a
Olivia
career.
Olivia Wilde was way more popular.
Okay, sure,
House,
but she was still in House. That was still... Olivia Wilde, you don't remember? She was 13.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Okay, well then you didn't watch House close enough. Think, in five seasons.
I think that when you're on a TV show like this that brings you the huge success that she's had, I think you owe your fans a little something. You owe them at least the closure of your story.
I think you owe them a lot. That's a lot. Yeah, you owe them closure. Fuck you. Yeah. You owe them. Give them half a season at least.
I mean, I'm not saying
give the writers time to give you a decent story out.
I'm not saying commit to the show until the end. That could just be something that she's just trying to get more money. A tactic to get more more money for the contract.
And I would try to as well, you know?
Well, get
she's
money,
a big
girl.
Reason why the show is as successful as it has.
And the show's on the bubble anyways, and not the right tactic to take.
Oh, actually, that's where I fucking know her from. Fuck House. She was
Captain Kirk's mom in the 2009 Star Trek.
Did you ever watch that movie Grind?
Yeah.
The skating movie? She was the blonde girl that he was in love with. Like the main girl that was the main skater?
She's been in a bunch of things.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you might know her from Rob Schneider's classic Big Stan.
Have you not seen that movie? The movie's actually pretty funny.
No, I have not.
He learned how to fight because he was going to jail, so he learned how to fight. Like, he became this master kung fu guy, and Rob Schneider did. And then he goes into jail, and he quickly starts, like, fucking everybody up, like all these big guys. And it becomes really funny because they're like, no more raping. No more raping in showers or whatever. And then one big guy was like, but what about if you really want to rape? And they're like, no, it's not allowed. And then somebody else raises their hand, and they go, but what if you like when he does that? And he's like, well, then that's not rape, and that's okay. Okay. It had its funny moment. Look, I've worked with Rob Schneider in person. He is not a good guy. I don't like him as a human being. But fuck if that movie wasn't underrated.
Obviously.
All right. Well.
Okay. This just broke.
And by underrated, I mean you've never heard of it. And
yeah,
I've never heard of it.
It's not bad. That's the underrated. Okay.
That's not a huge
It's not awful for something that you've never heard of. That's a pretty good recommendation, I think.
This broke while we were talking.
I was about to talk about that. Go ahead.
Hellboy.
Mm-hmm.
They just announced that there's going to be a rated R reboot.
Ooh. Is Del Toro involved?
It's the Hellboy creator in Austin.
Yeah, Neil Marshall's going to be doing it.
Mignola? Mike Mignola is involved?
That's exactly who I thought
Neil
it was.
Neil Marshall.
The guy who created Hellboy was Mike Mignola.
Oh, we may not be getting Hellboy, but creator Mike Mignola has now announced that there will be an R-rated reboot in the works. And it's going to star David Harbour from Stranger Things, the cop from Stranger Things.
Oh, okay.
So and Neil Marshall is attached to direct.
Who's that?
From Game of Thrones.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I got to see which episodes it is that he's directed.
Does it matter? Is there a Game of Thrones episode that you go,
eh? No. Hey, he directed.
Nope. Okay.
No, they're all fucking fantastic.
I got one better. He directed The Descent.
All right, I'm in.
Yeah.
I don't even know that movie.
I know, you'll see it.
Yeah.
In Shiver.
Fuck.
You'll watch it in Shiver.
Son of a bitch.
Actually, that might be my night. Well, no, we said
it. So wait, the Hellboy, it's a
TV. It's going to be a reboot. No, a movie. They're going to reboot the movie series, which, great,
Ron Perlman. I love Guillermo del Toro.
I love Ron Perlman.
I would prefer to get Hellboy 3.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Than to get. I know it's not going to happen, but I would prefer that. I don't know.
I would love it. No, I don't think it's been too long, but I would take Hellboy in any fucking form.
Yeah.
If you told me, hey man, you can only get him an animated movie, fuck it. Give me an animated movie. Because those two movies are so fucking great.
Honestly, that's where it belongs.
Those two movies are so great. But
Perlman's voice is so awesome.
Yeah. It really is.
He's got one of the most incredible voices.
Who would you cast? Fantasy casting.
For Hellboy?
Yes. For the reboot.
Ron Perlman.
I'm not against this guy.
Jason Momoa
would be good. Yeah.
They casted him already?
Yeah.
Who they cast?
The cop from Stranger Things.
I don't think that's bad casting at all.
I don't think that's bad casting, but that's not real Ron Perlman casting.
No.
But I'm okay with Jason Momoa. That would have been better.
Well, I mean, Jason Momoa, period.
Yeah.
Right.
Just for his voice, the guy that voiced Kratos.
Oh, that would be good. Yeah.
If it was an animated show, I'd cast that guy.
Can we still have Doug Jones as Abe Sapien? Can we keep him as Abe Sapien?
Bro, keep fucking everyone.
Yeah. Well, I know. Doug Jones is
just give me. No, you just know fucking give me Hellboy 3.
You know who you know Doug who Jones you could do for the girl? You know who could use for the girl?
Yeah.
The girl from Parks and Rec. What's your name?
Audrey Plaza.
Oh, she could be the Selma Blair character.
Yeah.
That's what you said, right?
Yeah.
Thanks for paying attention to the podcast, man.
Sorry.
I love her so much.
And that's how listening is done.
And that's how not listening is not done.
Yeah. We're having a side.
Sorry. All right. So we've all seen Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yes. Yeah.
So we're going to do a quick little recap of Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
Oh, wait. It was Volume 2?
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah. You went to the Dollar Theater and you saw fucking Part 1 again.
My teacher, man. I ain't got no money.
So, thoughts. What'd you guys think? Guardians of the Galaxy.
I loved it, man.
Such a fun time.
It was the tits.
No, I was like genuinely like the entire time I'm watching just a big smile plastered on my face and then emotion and then smile. And then it had a really good rhythm. Like even the parts where like was corny, it was corny on purpose.
Better or not as good as Part 1?
I would say on par, different, but in a different way. Like you get to have flesh the characters out more. Like the first one is a complete...
So you're saying as good?
I would say
not better.
I would say as good because of the fact that no matter what, I didn't go in expecting a lot because I actually didn't follow Guardians as a comic book series before. So
I'm talking
about
now as a movie. You've seen Part 1. You love Part 1.
Yeah.
So what did you think of Part 2?
I genuinely love Part 2. And damn, if it's not because freaking Drax gets to have more time, Mantis is freaking adorable. Mm-hmm. And Baby Groot, I will die for him. Really?
I fucking hated Baby Groot. He was the most obnoxious fucking character of all time.
No.
Almost as obnoxious as you.
Yes. Oh. Almost.
Baby
almost.
Almost.
But he was awesome. But you gotta be honest. Baby Groot was awesome. He was super obnoxious.
Neri, do you agree that they didn't use him as much as you
very
thought?
Much. No,
because
very much.
Neri before this was like,
worried.
They're gonna fucking use him as a cash cow.
No, I was worried because in the marketing, they were using him as a cash cow. He was the Ewoks as in marketing. He was everywhere. And
I was afraid they might would overdo
except
him. But
unlike the Ewoks, he didn't take anything away from the movie.
No. Unlike the Ewoks, and very much like the Ewoks, he saved the day because the Ewoks saved the fucking, you know.
Yeah, no, I'm not disagreeing with
you. So what did they take away from the movie? They added what? They took away victory from the Empire?
We'll never agree on this.
What do you mean those are facts? They saved the fucking rebellion.
I'm not saying they did.
So what
I'm
did they take away?
I'm saying that the Ewoks detract from the final product.
How?
Because the whole reason why the Ewoks exist is for cuteness. And I understand what George Lucas is trying.
Do you see the double standard here? You think fucking Baby Groot was the tits, but you're like...
Yes, but Baby Groot is not integral to the film.
He's the one that fucking does the end. He's the one that kills Eagle.
He gives some fucking great hugs.
Yes, but the thing is, Baby Groot was put in that film for comedy relief.
Yeah.
And he did that perfectly.
I didn't think it was funny at all.
Yeah, because
the only time I hated the gag of him getting the wrong thing.
Yeah. That gag
went on for way too long. The only part that was funny was when he got a toe, and the only reason that was funny was because of Rocket. Because Rocket goes, "Do you guys have a compartment where
bodies?
We'll never talk about this again." Then Rocket made that funny. Everything else, I was like fucking annoying as shit.
I loved it. I love that when he finally found the drawer, then when he finally was gonna grab the thing, it was still the wrong fucking thing.
Yeah.
Like, I liked
that. Yeah, that gag went on way too long.
It sets up and it establishes why you would even be concerned about the damn button.
Okay.
I'm saying as an establishing, joke, it's still solid.
I got that from the gag from the button thing when he kept showing the wrong button.
My thing I loved is the whole like, who has tape?
That whole thing was you know, there's a couple gags that James Gunn did in that movie that went on like that. They were like long.
Mm-hmm.
They were just like taking up a lot of time, and I get it for the comedic purposes. I did notice that. I was like, man, this gag is almost like a Family Guy gag where they go like, and you know, it goes on, and I'm like, this is hilarious. How long is he gonna keep this up? This is fucking great. Yeah. Like, I thought it was great.
Scotch tape, and then the fact that he was like, the scotch tape worked. Why would you ask? Like, that whole thing.
Did you ask Nebula? Yeah. Are you sure? Like, it was great.
It's very much the sense of humor from the comic book series, which I thought they did a very good job of capturing in the first one, and I think maybe even more so in this one.
I didn't think it was as funny as the first one. Did you think it was as funny as the first one?
I think that definitely was more jokes per minute. Like, this one definitely had way more. It was
I think there were more jokes. I don't think it's as funny as the first one, but you're right, there were more jokes. There are more jokes, but they weren't as funny jokes.
Yeah.
The first one would surprise you with gags too, and jokes, like the whole like, oh, now we're a bunch of idiots standing in a circle. Great.
Right.
Like those lines like that. Whereas this one, you kind of already knew when certain things were going to happen and stuff like that. But I don't know. There was something about the fact that everyone got to have their time and their moment.
But that's not what I'm asking. I'm asking about, is it funnier? You're giving me story arcs. You're giving me character arcs, which is very true. This movie had phenomenal amount of character arcs, and every character was well, fucking perfectly fleshed out, yeah, except for Baby Groot. And everything, everything's great. So I'm giving you, I agree with you on that. I'm asking you which one is funnier, and you're going into a different. You're defending.
You know what, to be honest,
this is
funnier by
talking about character arcs.
I think I would have to watch them back to back to say if it was funny.
I watched Guardians probably a month ago, and I think Guardians is funnier. This one has more jokes, but I don't think the jokes land as much.
But you don't think, definitely didn't suffer the sophomore slump. Like it didn't.
No,
like,
this movie. No this, way. This is what I loved about this movie, and I do love this movie. I don't want to seem as if I don't like the movie or as I'm shitting on the movie. The reason why I'm taking the stance that I'm taking is because if not, it'll be a fucking love fest. Mm-hmm. And I'm just trying to look at it as impartial as possible, because mm-hmm. I hate listening to podcasts where everybody either hates the fucking thing or everybody loves the thing, mm-hmm. and there's no fucking balance. So I'm trying to, you know, be as balanced as I can.
Well, if anything, because just they could give Gamora a little, like, okay.
Gamora was fucked. That story arc with Nebula was so fucking. Holy shit! That whole story. That's the best storyline.
Fact.
The Gamora
to me.
And Nebula.
The Gamora and Nebula. It is an exact tie for me with Drax and Mantis. They're fucking, man, this movie, that's what I was going to say.
Wait,
this movie has more heart than any other Marvel movie.
Yeah.
So much more heart.
I think close second would be the first Ant-Man, well, the only Ant-Man.
So far, yeah.
I don't agree with that. I think there's other movies that I'm not saying they don't.
It's not my favorite. It's not my favorite, but it has a lot of heart.
But Guardians Volume 2, man, so much heart. I love this. I fucking choked up, man, when Drax,
a couple of times.
When Drax, well, one time specifically. Yeah. The other time, alright.
Oh, no.
That time with Drax. That killed me.
I was like,
no, the Zune got me.
I'm like, who the fuck? So sad. The Zune.
But I there was a lot that
and
got
the fireworks.
Said. I think that the first Guardians was probably, I laughed more. There was a lot of times where I caught myself kind of, I was like, okay, that's supposed to be funny. But I had already got, I personally, I'm going to say it, may not be popular, I think they oversaturated me with Drax.
Really?
I think that a lot of the jokes, it got old for me. Like, it was just like, okay, I get it. Drax said that already. Okay, I get it. He's going on with this again.
He said that three times.
But that's kind of what he does.
But I'm like,
I counted them.
Yeah, I know.
He said that she's ugly three times, and that included the end. That included the last one.
The last one was the only one I laughed out loud at.
He said that she was ugly. And he's like, yeah, I told you were ugly because it's good that you blah, blah, blah. And then Gamora comes out and he goes, what? She's hideous. That's two. And then the third time is the one at the end. Right. That's all
to
that
me,
is.
Okay, then to me it felt like more. Right. That's, I got tired of the.
It was
okay,
the rule of three.
I actually felt bad for Mantis. I was like, bro, this guy's a fucking asshole.
He's not an asshole.
He's not. I know that.
He's got Asperger's, man. No, I'm not joking.
I know.
He's on the spectrum.
There's a kid that even there was an autistic kid that was talking about how he related to Drax.
No, but it's clear as day. Like he has that. He doesn't know social.
To me, the best story arc. There's two. Is the Gamora Nebula one. The best two characters in this movie was not Baby Groot. It was Rocket and Yondu.
Rocket was.
Those were the
great.
Two best characters in this movie.
Absolutely.
But like, I think everyone, like most people, got their person. Most people got like their like paired off things, like their parallels.
Right.
Because like Yondu and Rocket were each other's parallels. Like Nebula and Gamora are different sides of the same coin because they went through the same thing and they both reacted to it very drastically differently.
Right.
And you got to understand a little bit more of Nebula, which like finally fleshed it out. So thank goodness for that.
I was really happy. I've been waiting for
what
Nebula
mean,
to be
fleshed
the...
out. You act like it was like, all right, volume 15, we finally get around to Nebula. It's just
in the first one, she's
just,
like a Terminator.
Yeah,
you know, she's just
glowering,
like, you know,
angry, done.
Right, and
but that's
and,
what she's supposed to be.
No, in the comics, she is not that.
But
in the comics, she is so much more.
But there
than
was
that.
So much more to explain in part one. There were so many other characters that were more important.
I understand. But that's why volume 2.
Yeah, the finally makes it seem as if like this is long overdue. It's like not long overdue. Do it's she's so not able,
especially moving forward into
the Infinity
storyline,
right?
Yeah, well, and also makes you a little more aware of, because Thanos has always been in the background as an Easter egg.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Now you're finally becoming more aware of him as like his story, like there's a backstory to him, mm-hmm. and you're attaching him to characters you already give a shit about, even mm-hmm. if you're completely unaware of who Thanos actually is and you're just watching the movies,
right?
So, like, I do like that they're establishing that, like, you're already like, this guy's an asshole. You're not thinking he's the biggest, evilest, most powerful asshole yet, but he's definitely an asshole.
And yeah, no, you're 100% right. I also, I want to give props because Sean Gunn's character.
Oh, it was great.
Was mm-hmm. another one that I, he wasn't in it as much as everybody else was, but the times that he was in it, you were like,
he's a good oh, actor.
He's, no, he's yeah. a fantastic yeah. actor.
Yeah. Which one is Sean Gunn?
Yondu's right hand man.
Okay. Okay.
Like he was great. That character was fucking great.
I thought that he was in
that was a
first
great scene,
one
man.
Because
when he said they killed my friends.
Yeah.
Oh. When he said they killed all my friends, I was like,
yeah.
oh
yeah.
What's this feels?
That's what I'm saying. He's a good actor. I thought he was in that first one because he was just, you know, the brother of the director. I've seen a couple episodes of Gilmore Girls, and I absolutely hated it.
What are you talking about? No. Why do you hate it? Tell me about it. Tell me all that. This is how everybody talks like this. What are you talking about? Let's go. Let's go.
It's a little too. You have to throw more pop culture references in the middle of each
right.
break.
And then you got it. Can I be honest with you?
Yeah.
No.
You know what? There's a couple of things, and again, like Jeff said, there was a couple of things that I know were supposed to be funny. I just didn't laugh. I smiled, maybe. Like the Pac-Man thing, I was like, oh, okay, cool.
See, no, I love that.
Did you laugh? Great. I didn't laugh at that.
You know which one I didn't laugh at? When Rocket starts juggling the people. When he starts juggling the people in the forest, I was like, okay.
I swear to God, until you said it right now, I didn't even know I was supposed to be funny.
I thought it was cool.
Yeah, I thought it was cool, but I didn't think it was supposed to be funny.
Like
that's what I'm saying.
It was like Three
Stoogesy.
It's like,
and I didn't.
No, because it was still doing the slow motion.
You don't like slapstick?
Of course, I like slapstick.
Okay, so
I just didn't think that. I just didn't.
But you know, just because you like slapstick doesn't mean you have to like all slapstick.
I just like that Rocket.
Every slapstick joke has to hit.
Deadpool. What the fuck do you mean? Do I like slapstick?
But and then there was the David Hasselhoff thing. I didn't laugh at that.
You shut your whore mouth.
I didn't laugh at
that.
I didn't think that was funny at all.
He's a German American treasure.
Sure. And you know what? Really. And I know this is stupid and this is nitpicking, but the OCD in me could not fucking let this go.
What?
He's referencing Cheers. He was like fucking 8 years old when he got abducted.
Right.
8 year olds are watching Cheers on prime time.
I was aware what Cheers was when I was a kid.
Yeah, but Cheers already had passed. Now you're watching shit that you know is going to be. I don't buy that. I just didn't buy that. That an 8 year old is watching. An 8 year old that watches Knight Rider is watching.
I used to watch I Love Lucy and the Maritime War Show.
All those shows already had passed. So you're watching reruns.
Okay,
Let me talk. Let me finish talking, please. Can I finish?
Cheers had already been on for a little bit.
It was still on prime time. The show went on until 90. It was still on prime time. You're talking about he has to stay up until 9 o'clock to watch this show. I don't buy that.
His mother was in a hospital bed. He has time.
Why are you yelling at me? What the fuck is wrong? You were really yelling at me over a fucking opinion of Cheers?
I'm not genuinely yelling at you.
You were genuinely yelling.
No part of me is actually upset right now.
My point is that he's yelling over prime. He's watching over prime time, and like he knows the character arcs of Cheers. And I was like, I don't buy that. This is a kid that likes Knight Rider. And Pac-Man. I don't buy that. That same kid. I just didn't buy it. And again, it's a little. Again,
I think it's nitpicking.
I'm not saying it's not. I prefaced it. We're saying it's nitpicky and it's dumb. I prefaced that. I said to myself. It took me out of the movie. I was like, what?
Really?
How old was he when this? Like, I started doing math in my head. I was like, how old was he when he got abducted? Wasn't he like 8 years old?
I didn't even think.
I started doing all of that shit because it was played into the story. It wasn't just in passing. It wasn't like he mentioned Knight Rider in passing or Pac-Man in passing. He mentioned it as far as the storyline between him and Gamora. The love, won't they? That's an actual thing. That's the unsaid love, the unconfessed love. Like, that was an actual arc. And I was like, why? The whole time he was talking, right after that, he mentioned Cheers and the Diane thing. And I was like, how old was he? Like, I just started doing math in my head. It took me out of the movie, is all I'm saying. It didn't seem believable to me. Again, completely nitpicking.
Yeah.
But it took me out of the movie. I can't help it. Whatever takes you out of the movie takes you out of the movie. It's not like I purposely wait a minute, let me check the script. I didn't do that. I was watching the movie live, the one and only time I've seen it so far, and I go,
I was kind of just enjoying the fact that, because I was wondering if they were going to call attention to the fact that he was referencing something to her that she would have no idea what he's talking about. So I like that they did that. That she's just like, I have no idea what you're saying. Like, I like that he still sometimes runs off at the mouth and says things that none of them would understand.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was just like in part one when he... Yes. No.
She's wearing
the socks. She's wearing the socks. The Wonder Woman socks. Well, that's the same thing that bothered me about when I saw part one, and he goes, oh, it looks like a Jason Pollock painting. And I go, a fucking 8-year-old now knows Jason Pollock? Like, what? This is
Jackson Pollock.
Jackson Pollock, I'm sorry. And Jason's his brother that nobody knows about, but he did the same kind of painting, but never got the
but
credit.
He was much more talented.
Yeah, he was much more talented.
He just never made it.
Just never made it. Yeah, so when he said Jackson Pollock in part one, I was like, how old was this kid that he knows about Jackson? I just learned about Jackson Pollock last year. What the fuck is happening? Like, why am I so behind the times is what I was asking myself in part one. Same thing happened in part two. I think
that is the more important question.
Yeah. I can't read very well, so...
I don't read so good.
I had two issues with the movie.
And it went on too long.
If you say taser face, I'm going to punch you.
No, taser face.
Taser face. That's a perfect name. Is that in the comics?
Yeah.
Taser face is in the comics?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Fucking great.
He's not a major character, but he's in the
comics. Well, he wasn't a major character in this movie.
Right, yeah. He's as major as he was there. I had only two issues with this, and I'm prefacing with by saying I did absolutely love the movie. Mm. But one is being an avid comics reader, I know who Ego, the Living Planet, is.
Mm-hmm.
So there was zero surprise that Ego was not a good guy for me.
Oh.
So well, I knew from the moment that he says, hi, my name is Ego, this is my planet. I'm like, no, that's not your planet. That is you. And mm-hmm. you are a bad guy. Okay.
Well, I did know from listening to other people, like other podcasts, like the Empire Movie Podcast, mm-hmm. that they knew who Ego was, that Ego was a living planet. So I've heard that phrase
before.
I knew
the living planet.
I knew the living planet thing. I just didn't know he was a bad guy.
Ego, the living planet.
So I didn't know that he was a bad guy, though.
He's not really a bad guy, but he's not a good guy.
Just because you're a bad guy doesn't mean you're a bad
right.
guy.
Right. He tends to do bad things because his concerns are not
the concerns
equal
is,
with the concerns right. of ants, you right. know?
Yeah.
Which is what we are to him.
Right. Yeah.
So,
like, I had already known that Peter's dad was not a good guy.
Right.
Necessarily that he'd become a villain. I just didn't know that in the comics, Ego is not his dad.
Right. That also bugged me a little bit because...
But I didn't mind...
And I don't mind...
So in the comics, he's not his dad?
No. His father's name is Jason of Spartax, and he's basically like the emperor of most of the cosmos. And as much as I am okay with changes to character background to mm-hmm. make a better movie...
But they're not respecting the fucking character, man. They're not respecting the history of the character.
Well, I know you're teasing, but I'm totally making fun of Raul. I know you're teasing something, but like I actually kind of... I'm always kind of impressed and surprised when the Guardians movies comes out and... Because they do change quite a bit around and mm-hmm. fans of Guardians that are avid fans of Guardians don't complain.
Doctor Strange did the same thing.
Yeah. But I don't hear people complain.
Especially with Baron Mordo, who's like one of the best Marvel villains. Those are called Marvel fanboys.
Yeah. And they see no wrong. Raul refuses to admit that Thor 2 is not a good movie. Do you understand this? So
you're saying this to someone who actually didn't like mind Thor 2.
You didn't mind Thor 2, but you're not saying it's a good movie either. There's a big difference between those two statements.
I don't think it's a bad movie.
Okay, but do you think it's a good movie?
I do.
I'm not gonna sit there and say it's the best one. Like, but I don't think it's a bad movie.
Okay. My point is that there are MCU fanboys out there that would defend Thor one. Well, okay.
I know you don't like it.
I'll defend Thor one too. It's definitely not a great movie, but I think that it has its moments, and if it's on, I'll check to see if anything else is on. But if nothing else is I'll watch Thor 1.
No, I'll watch Thor 1, but then again, I do actually genuinely enjoy Kenneth Branagh, the director.
Yeah.
I like Thor 2 more than Thor 1. I'm not saying Thor 2 is a better movie.
No.
In fact, I'm saying the exact opposite. But I'm saying I like Thor 2 because at least Thor 2 is more visually...
The only thing I liked about Thor 2 was the interactions between Thor and Loki. Everything else I hated.
I
watched that movie in the comfort of my own home, and half an hour into the movie, I looked around like, "Why the fuck am I watching this?"
I'm gonna be honest.
And
with
I kept
guys,
watching it.
I've seen it three times in the last month. I've seen it three times in the last month. It's on a cruise ship. Part two. Yeah.
No, I'm saying, to be honest,
I know I've seen it. I think that, but like right now, I'm like trying. I remember
there's a black elf
parts that I remember.
Dark elf.
Okay. Like I remember parts, but I'm trying to sit here and like remember the
that was black though. Right? He was
like,
black though. Right?
And like everything
you don't
else,
say
I'm
that.
Like, maybe this says something that I'm like.
Maybe it wasn't that.
I remember moments. Yeah. I remember everything that has Loki in it, and I remember
the right. Dark elf he was great. And Thor was great, but I hated the film.
Oh, they went back there. Okay, now I'm remembering things now. Yeah,
there was a
whole
fight in London because they were bringing the like they were coming to the world. I think.
again, I just I'm gonna go with the whole like. Anyways, my point is.
Well, we digress. Yeah,
we're digressing. Other- my point is that there are fanboys that they don't care, and so yeah. Raul be one of them. And I'm saying this as a friend and as somebody who loves the
and
guy.
And you said it to his face.
And I said it to his face. So I'm not talking shit. I'm saying it to his face. He will sit there and tell me, Batman vs Superman is awful. Look what they did to Jimmy
Olsen.
Yeah. And I said, uh-huh. And I said, did you like Jimmy Olsen in the comics? He goes, I love Jimmy Olsen in the comics. I go, can you name me one Jimmy Olsen storyline? And he could not. And I wasn't putting him on the spot. I said, take your time. I'll be here all night. This was during game night. And I said, take your time. And then half an hour later, I go, so did you think of the Jimmy Olsen? I said, one. Just give me one Jimmy Olsen storyline that you love Jimmy Olsen in. Oh, he saved Superman's life. Give me a storyline in which he did that. That's a very generic, vague statement. Everybody has saved Superman's life at one point. Give me a very specific. And he couldn't do it. And his complaint about DC movies has always been, a lot of times has been, oh, they don't uphold the integrity of the characters. Right?
They did it in Marvel all the time, though.
And Marvel does it all the time. They did it with, I tell them, with Iron Man 3.
Yeah, you kind of have to accept that.
Iron Man 3, right?
Sometimes it makes a better movie to change things about a character.
Right.
Yeah. And sometimes it doesn't. And I don't understand, like the Mandarin in Iron Man 3. And for me,
the Mandarin was awful.
To make Ego his father does not make it a better story. It does not give him a better story arc because his father in the comics is a douchebag. And he could have had this whole, like, wow, I'm the heir to an empire.
But he's a douchebag.
With his dad, right. You know? So I think that they tried to reach a little bit in trying to make him a god, you know? Because that's being a god is better than being an emperor.
Right.
You know? And I didn't hate it. I loved Kurt Russell. He was awesome.
God, is there anything he's done that's
no,
that? He's
nothing,
so fantastic.
I love everything movie. He does. I love everything. But the thing is, when they casted him, I was like, that's a great Jason of Spartax. That's
what
I thought.
Do you think he still
would
have been able to play that equally?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Up until you knew that there was no way around him being Ego, I was certain that Jason of Spartax was an agent of Ego. That's what I thought was going on.
Okay.
The fact that he's Ego, being such a big fan of the comics,
right.
I knew it. I knew right away, like, okay, well, this is how this story is going to go. So I knew it right from the beginning. It didn't make it bad. The journey was good. And then the last problem that I had was, I think the end went on too long.
That's I agree with. I said that. I said that in the chat. It could have ended three. It was a Lord of the Rings
the
3 ending.
The final act just kept going and going and going. My litmus test.
The Yondu funeral with all the extra.
Oh,
it was good. I'm not saying it wasn't.
Each individual ending, because that's what I call them. Because the movie could have ended three times. Each individual ending was fantastic. Mm-hmm. It's just like Lord of the Rings 3.
I would have felt empty if it would have ended with the Yondu off of the planet thing.
No, I think you do the Yondu and then you do the funeral and that's it. There's no need for the rocket and I'm sorry the Drax and like there were so many little mini endings that I was like, let's fucking
Drax and Mantis.
Mantis. But
that's when he said the one time I really laughed at it when he was like, you are beautiful, and he's like on the inside.
But it's like that's all part of a bigger
thing. Yeah, no, it is, and because they have all of these story arcs that are going on at the same time during the film, you have to wrap this up at some point. So I
empty otherwise.
I don't know how they could have streamlined the final act of the movie, but and I've said this before, you guys know this. My litmus test for if a movie is too long is when my ass starts to hurt, the movie's too long, because if I don't notice that my fat ass is hurting. I'm engrossed in the film.
I was good to go. I have no idea.
So was I. I was. But by the time that they get into the core of Ego, I was like, oh, what? What's going on?
Still,
yeah,
I was still in it.
I did. I was interested in what was going on.
I was still in it because they were still like.
There were so many things. It did seem to go on. They were fighting Ego, and then they were fighting the other army that was chasing them, and then they were fighting they can't get into it because they need a small space, so they needed to send baby crew. It was so many things.
Everyone.
It was like
yes, but I think maybe what happened is they tried to pack so much into this movie that to wrap it all up at the end, you had a final act that was so packed with stuff that it was bloated. It was a bloated final act.
I felt it went on too long.
I felt fulfilled. Like, I felt like the ending did a good job of...
I did too.
I felt the ending did a good job of wrapping everyone's storylines in a satisfactory way and still letting everyone have their own individual characters and
but
have
that's,
their own
that,
parallels
that's,
going
that's
on.
Not, like, that's not what I'm saying, because all that is true.
I think story writing wise, I think that was actually a really solid choice, because, like, to me, saying that something had multiple endings is like the beat is done already. Like, that wasn't it. Like,
I don't agree with what Neri's saying that it had multiple endings, because I think that they wrapped up the individual arcs very nicely. It just took
I'm not disagreeing with that either. I think Lord of the Rings wrapped up all the individual stories, mm-hmm. but there's some things that I just didn't need. I don't care that this guy married the fucking the bartender. I don't give a fuck.
I disagree with that. I think that all the endings in this were completely necessary, mm-hmm. just like they were, in my opinion, in Return of the King. And if you read the book, Return of the King, I know. That's why I said if and not
read
when.
Read the book. Get the fuck
out. If you read the book, only the first half of Return of the King is the book. The last half is the epilogue.
Yeah,
that's okay. How much is there in Return of the King? It's half the fucking book is the epilogue. So I think that all the endings were necessary.
He smoked
they
a
tied
lot,
it
though.
Up. Ni- yeah,
yeah, he smoked a lot. So we're gonna forgive him.
It was just a lot. It was a lot to pack.
I agree with you. I think I love the movie, and I was the first one to say the word love in the chat amongst us.
Yeah.
In fact, when I said I love, Dave goes, you know what? Yeah, I think I could say I love it. I knew I loved the movie because of the sheer amount of heart in this movie. Mm-hmm. And I'm a sucker, and I'm a sappy dude. And I'm just like, this is fucking beautiful. And, you know, Drax made me think of my own daughter. And if, God forbid, something like horrible had happened to her, like, that's what he made me feel that. Mm-hmm. From being the fucking,
I think that was the best acted moment in the entire movie.
When
she reaches out and touches him, and she starts sobbing, and he's there stoic and just holding everything in.
But,
you know,
I don't even think
that
he was that stoic. I think he was like,
you could see a little bit.
He was fighting back.
He was at peace.
You think when I saw that scene, I felt as if he was fighting back the emotion that he doesn't usually allow himself to have.
I didn't see it that way, because
he keeps the exterior of...
That's what I felt. I felt like he was on the outside, but I felt like he was... And again, this is all feeling.
What I got, and maybe I just thought I saw this, but when they focus in on him, I can almost see a smile on his face. As if he was remembering his daughter and his wife fondly. And he was now, at this point in his life, he can look back on these moments, and even though there's pain and there's suffering there,
you can appreciate
he's
the pain.
Still able to see the love that they have and focus on that and not the pain. Whereas Mantis, who is not so trained in feeling this, she feels this and she's like, oh my God, how do you control this pain? That's what I got out of it.
I mean, that's,
for me,
what
for
you
me,
just
that,
said was stunningly beautiful, man, and I want to go back and watch. I'm gonna watch it again with my wife.
That's why I say that is the most beautiful.
That's why I actually really like the parallels between like Nebula and Gamora and Mantis and Drax. I read Mantis and Drax very much like two people who didn't know social norms, so they kind of act like very siblingish.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the way Bautista says it. That's the way Bautista described it in an interview recently. He said they're like brother and sister, but they're both very young and innocent. So it's like very young brother and sister, where they both don't know, they don't know how else to express themselves.
Like, that's how these people function. And like, I just like that she was learning all these new emotions off of him. Like, the first big laugh she really has is because he's laughing at Peter, and she like holds on to him, and then you see her crack up, and so she was actually, they were actually really good. Like,
I wish they wouldn't have showed that scene in the trailer.
There's so much I wish they wouldn't have shown.
Yeah.
Marvel is really fucking up their trailers, man.
The newest Spider-Man trailer that you will see before, if you watch Volume 2, shows so much of the movie.
I didn't see it.
You didn't see him with the plane? Let me not ruin it for you now. Like, if it wasn't ruined for you then. But I was like, okay.
Okay.
All right. So, anyways, that's our review, or what's the word we use?
Newsy?
No. On the movie. That's our...
Critique? No.
Spoiler special.
Oh, there you go.
That's our spoiler special of Guardians of the Galaxy.
One little side note.
Volume 2, yes.
I know you don't like Baby Groot, but you have to admit that there is like a moment where the spaceship's taking off and he's on the window that immediately you're thinking like, oh my God, they're going to make a Garfield thing out of him. Like, when he's on the window looking down. Mm-hmm. Like, there's like one thing where I'm like, that's the perfect, like, I'm going to make a toy super, shot.
And to clarify on my feelings of Baby Groot, aesthetically, visually, adorable. Mm-hmm. Like him eating M&M's, him when their first mission, when Drax got back on and he went at Drax, and he was fucking awesome. I thought that visually it's adorable.
Yeah,
I gotta be honest with you, it was just that one scene. I hated that gag. That gag went on for way too long. I just hated that fucking he kept getting the wrong thing, and I know what it's supposed to, but I just felt it went on way too long. So it's just that one gag, maybe because he wasn't in a lot of the rest of the movie,
right?
So just that one gag, I think, really did me in. From like, I don't know, because I'm not a fucking heartless bastard. He is super adorable and cute. I just think that gag went on too long.
I got genuinely pissed at that one guy pouring beer at him. I was like, fuck you, though.
Yeah, that was hard.
Everyone. Eagle's a dick, but fuck you.
I was okay with that.
I saw Link being abused by someone. That's what I saw.
Because you see something cute, something you care about, and like immediately.
Jesus.
Well, I
didn't think about that at all.
That's like, what I did when I saw Groot. Groot was analogous to my own son.
I don't know what that words mean, but I'm gonna take it as a disrespect. Take it as an insult and fuck you. All right.
The one time I thought Kevin Hart funny.
You know there are people breaking out fucking thesaurus as well. What the fuck did he say? I will say this, and this is my two critiques of the movie. Real critiques, aside from the whole fucking cheers bullshit. Real critiques of the movie is I thought it went on too long, just like this podcast.
This is a newsie.
I thought the soundtrack for part one was vastly superior.
I'll give you the soundtrack.
I'm not buying the soundtrack. I bought the soundtrack for part one. Buying the soundtrack.
It was a good soundtrack, but it's not as good as part one.
I don't think it's even.
I'll probably still buy it because I genuinely do love that song, like Brandy. There were so many songs
for one song. You can buy that for one song.
There was a lot of songs that were playing in the movie. No, and also Blue Sky. Like I love Blue Sky by Ello.
Right, of course. No,
the first song they're playing.
I know which one Blue Sky is. You're looking at me blankly.
The same, of course, face that you do even when you're being sarcastic.
Of course.
Okay, I hate you.
Anyways, that's my only. Thank you for checking us out. Check out the next Mount Geekmore podcast that's coming up right now. That's how long as geek newsies are done.
Begging for a rain check. Old school soldiers passing out the high.